This is the place where sports beings collide. Dead in sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Beans. Joining me, we have Nick. What up, bro?
What's going on?
Chilling. Just here to recap the Colorado game that, you know, we've been kind of walking on this journey so far this college season. Right now, they are 4-1. So walking the same path they did last year before things kind of fell apart, but nevertheless they're here. And what were your thoughts on what you saw today? Because it honestly wasn't much of a contest.
Well, that was my main thought. It was that. Well, it's interesting because last week we came here. Shelton was gassing up the goddamn UCF like they were ranked. I can understand if they were ranked, even if they were number 25 in the top 25. I can understand why Shelton would have said what he said last week. But we kept on looking at this schedule, and I kept telling you, I was like, this is the season. This is the part of the season where they have to get their wins to be like, all right, at least we got these wins out the way. Anything over that is icing on the cake. And we predicted it, at least me and you did, as far as like UCF should not be an issue for them to win. I don't give a fuck what I was. And then when Shelton talked about the spread, I was like, damn, I didn't even think the spread was going to be that drastic. Cause I'm like, who the fuck is UCF? when did they become overwhelming favorites like that? So when I saw it was a 14 or a 12 and a half point spread still, I was just kind of like, okay, I don't believe that. But we'll see. So going into the game, how it started, I was like, ah, damn, boy. Shelton's like early. Like, I was like, all right, maybe this is what they was talking about because Shador threw a pick, which gave UCF, like, basically it was in their red zone early. And then it shit the bed quickly as well because quarterback, what's his name? What was his name? Richardson?
KJ Jefferson.
Jefferson. He threw a gorgeous pick. If you want to call it that, if it was to his teammate, then yeah, it's horrible. But it was a gorgeous pick by the Colorado defender, and it kind of went off the rails from there. It kind of felt like Colorado just took over from that standpoint. It was when it came to scoring, which obviously Travis Hunter started this avalanche that happened. But overall, it was like I was surprised about how dominant they won this game, but at the same time, I did expect them to win. So it's kind of like I don't really know. Their floor was higher, was almost touching the ceiling, basically, for me. Now, their dominance in this as far as running and passing and defense, it was surprising. But this is a game they had to win, though.
Yeah, and I wasn't I wasn't concerned.
He threw a pick. It's a wrap. Son of a bitch.
I think there were a couple of things. One, yeah, you already detailed every, you know, what we looked at last week when it came to this matchup. Very much like Baylor, who, you know, they came back to make it a game, but they were getting smashed earlier today. UCF, they didn't appear threatening. You know, especially when I heard that they only had one sack on the year. And we know Colorado, that's the reason why Baylor was even in that game was because they had eight sacks.
Nebraska. They
were winning that game. Yeah.
Shador called out his whole offensive line after the Nebraska game.
Yeah. So, when I was like, oh, well, they can't get pressure. That's going to be a problem because Shador is going to pick them apart. And then I heard that they were run dominant, like the leading rushing team in the country, blah, 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 blah. And Colorado's run defense typically struggles. Now, I will give Sanders credit. He is sticking to running the ball and is paying off for them. And we'll see if he continues to pay off for them. So I will give him credit for that. I thought Sanders had them boys ready to play. But once I heard that and once I saw the interception, I was like, oh, this ain't gonna go the way they need to go, because once they get down, what are they going to do? KJ Jefferson out there looking like he played like a football player that played on the yard. So we're in prison.
Yeah, he looked like he only knew how to play football from Pee Wee, and then he went and then he got locked up real early as a kid. And by the time he came back out, he was a grown man that only knew how to play Pee Wee football because he do the most basic shit. He is literally just trying to run you over. That's all he's trying to. He could pass a little bit, but all I saw was a 6'8" looking dude. I don't know if that's his height, but that's how tall he looked when he came, and he just started running. Even he made the defensive like linemen who were trying to sack him look small. I'm like, bro, how tall is this motherfucker? Like, but
yeah. Once they got behind, I figured it was a wrap. And you know, Colorado just looked better. They played better. Travis Hunter cooked that corner on that first touchdown pass. Granted, they got it back with the big play, but they weren't able to really hold it and do much with it. But offensively, they couldn't keep up. They couldn't stop the run, and they just couldn't make plays. And their strength was turned into what looked like it was a weakness to me, because if that's all you're going to do, that's all they're going to have to do really is crowd the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, I know, you know, you look at experience. I think experience, well, it helps in both areas. People are talking about these 4 5th-year seniors that they got out there. But when I decided to look around and see what was going on and why people were hyping up this team like that, I decided, you know, this is why I look at the schedules, man. This is why this stuff matters to me. Who are you playing? And they played New Hampshire. They played Sam Houston, you know, and then last week they were down to TCU by 28-7, they were talking about, and then they came back and won that 35-34, you know, so maybe that was a good win, but they were down in that game. So they ain't really played a legit team to me. And we'll see, they got to play Florida next. Florida's not that good. And then they go on and on and on. But this was a game that I felt they should win. And, you know, and they went out and won in a dominant fashion. And I think they did a good job at it.
To your point with college football, like with the NFL, it's like you make the argument that every team is a professional team and anybody can win on any given Sunday. With college football, to me, it's like when we talk about these first 4 or 5 games, it's like, are you playing any ranked teams, and or who do you play in your second half of your schedule? Because to me, it's like it's either or. I shouldn't have said and or. It should be either or. Because when you're talking about the dominant teams or teams that we just, you know, compare other teams to, is like, all right, who have you played that's ranked so far this season? And how did you look at, like, what was you looking like against them? And if you haven't played any ranked teams, we know you're going to play somebody in that second half. So maybe we should just grade you off the second half. That's where I was getting that with Colorado. And that's where I was getting that with UCF, is like, Colorado hasn't really played anybody where you should really be scared of like that. Or like, except for Nebraska. Nebraska was the only big thing for me, was because it was like, that's a Big Ten school. So like they are used to playing some stars. So let's see how they go up against them. And they got their ass kicked. So then that's why from there, it's like you have to now redeem yourself because you're not playing anybody ranked or scary. So now you have to run off these wins to prove that you even good beating up the shitty guys.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think this is where the schedule, let me look at the schedule. I think this is where moving forward, their toughest competition will come. But I first want to say this was a Travis Hunter game, though. I got to give credit to Travis. And it's crazy to say that because last game was a fucking Travis Hunter game. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he is just cementing the fact that, and I know I said this before too, he's just cementing the fact that he's the number one overall pick. Like he can stop playing football right now and he's the number one overall pick. Like I don't see how, I don't see what team couldn't use him. Offensively or defensively. Like, granted, I'm not going to go as far as Richard Sherman say he don't look good as a wide receiver, but he's talented. You know, he's talented. And he, as a defender, he can easily translate to a corner. So I just think that he's won the multiple games by himself. It's hard to even look at Shador as a top 5 pick in comparison to Travis Hunter. Cause I know that's what Deion wants. He wants them both to be top 5 picks, but I'm like, Shador, like Travis is about to be a Heisman winner. So saying like, okay, both of you are in the same tier, it don't really seem that way because Shador does ball out here and there. But when it comes to stiff competition, he don't really ball out like that, at least for what I see. So this is where I'm trying to see him, and I'm grading him as a, you know, they're saying like he's supposed to be the best QB out of this draft class. And I'm like, there's Cam Ward, there's now Milroe, who's balling out this world. Like, you can even argue, who was the other guy? They was trying to hype up that dude from Ole Miss. Well, clearly he had a shitty game. They're trying to hype him up too. They even try to hype up Connor Beck. So I see those coming off, but still, I think Shador right now to me is the third best QB in the country. Behind Ward and Milroe. Like, if I'm drafting a player, that's what I'm saying. But this was definitely a trap. I got to give Travis Hunter his flowers. Like, he has been ball. He is the best player in the country right now in college football.
That interception he had, that
iced the game. That iced the game early.
He guarded three people on that route on that play, which was crazy. Especially when I saw the replay, I was like, damn, like he checked
it. Which made Jefferson look like even more of a goofball. Like, nigga, out of all three guys, you picked the one on the one route that he could bite easily.
Exactly. Yeah, when he handed that corner off to his help, and then it just sat on that route and then just broke on the ball. And Jefferson saw it late, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
worse.
I would think that Jefferson would just throw it up top to the guy who's running deep. Because he can't go, like, he's going to be hesitant to guard either one of y'all, so he's not going to get you on the off the line like that. But again, that's just Travis Hunter being Travis Hunter. He's the best player in the college football. So to me, that just cements that. Shador was good, though. I mean, outside the pick, it wasn't like he was bad. It's just that when you look at that team and you look at that game, it's like you just come away saying, who the fuck is this kid number 12? So
Yeah. No, Hunter's good, and Shador was good too. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, and these are the games that I look for. Dominating teams like that, you should be dominating, you know, guys like this.
And I will also say, Shador threw some balls that was 50-50. If you play in a better team, some of those picks, like that pick that the touchdown he threw to number 14, I forget his name.
Oh, shit.
No, yeah, he actually had to come and like basically take it out of the range of. Granted, he was fighting against a corner, so they can't catch anyway. But like, he had to take that. I looked at that pass like that wasn't really on the money like that. That was a 50-50 ball. If the corner even had more awareness, he could have picked that off right in front of him. He did enough to win the game, way more than enough to win the game. And they won in blowout fashion. But like they said, they got four wins. So they tied what they did last year. So moving forward, their schedule is Kansas State, who I think they played today, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a pretty good win today, but they had a shit last week.
They did, because they lost to BYU. They had an ugly loss to BYU, but they threw a 42 on Oklahoma State, and they were actually ranked. So this next game may be – this is one of them ones.
I think this is one of them, though. I think
Kansas they're at State. Home. They're at home, so they should.
Yeah, I think they can beat Kansas State. I'm not that impressed with Kansas State. I think that's I just think that's a winnable game. But keep going.
That's the game, though. Yeah. This is the game, like I mentioned, like this, whoever you played that's either ranked or what does your second half schedule look like? So this is the Kansas State, and then they're on the road to face Arizona, which I think they did they win? Oh, they lost. Oh, yeah, they lost to Kansas State. But Arizona faces Utah before they face Colorado. Utah is ranked 10th. So Arizona maybe want to use that Colorado game to get back on track if they get busted by Utah, which they most likely will. So that's a big game, too. So Kansas State is up next. Luckily, they got that at home. Ooh, that's gonna be a good game. That's gonna be a good game because they know Kansas has to come up because they can't just come off a win like that. And then this game is most likely going to be on national TV or something like that, especially with Colorado coming in with just one loss at home.
Yeah, you got to hunt these Colorado games. Now, last year, bro, them things were everywhere. Now
They put them on at 3:30. I'm like, damn, that's an early ass game for them. But then but obviously they had Georgia and Alabama. I don't even know between the two games what was the better blowout. But I'm more excited about what they do against Kansas State. Because right now, if he wins another game, He's done his job as far as he can say we improved each season that I was here at the barest of minimums. But obviously he needs to win 6 to 7. Personally, I think he needs to win at least 8 games. But if he wins 6 to 7 games, because he's going to win another game. I know that he has to.
Yeah. There'll be.
But I don't know if he's going to. I don't know if he's going to win two. I don't know if he's going to win two more games. Now he may beat Cincinnati because Cincinnati clearly doesn't know how to keep leads. Kende was up 17. I think it was like 14-0 at one point to start the game, and then they lost basically by 2 touchdowns. So Cincinnati doesn't know how to. Their defense is trash. You can talk about from the Bengals to the college team. Their defense is trash. But you don't know how those games could go by that time. But I only see 2 wins. I only see two wins as far as at best. I don't see them winning more than, I don't see them getting the 10 wins.
I'm sticking by my 7. Kansas, I think they'll beat them. So that's 5.
So you're saying they're going, so basically you're saying they're going to win. If you're saying that, then you're saying they're going to win the next 4 straight. You're saying they're going to get 8 wins. Cause if you're confident they can beat Kansas State, then they could be Arizona and Cincinnati and Texas Tech. Like, they should be able to win all 3 of those games if you think they can beat Kansas State without question. The only thing is them last 3 games is against Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma. Granted, those 2 tougher teams are at home, but Utah ain't nothing to sneeze at, neither is Oklahoma State. Because if they win 8 wins, then you're saying that they can possibly, okay, let's say give them the Kansas game, that's 9. They should be able to split between Utah and Oklahoma State, which means that they're probably going to the damn college football playoffs if they have at least 10 wins. Now, if they have another loss, that still is fine, because I know a college football team is going to get in with 2 losses. But that means that Oklahoma State game, if they have 10 wins by that point, would be key. Because then they'll have to win 11 to secure a playoff spot, which, yeah, again, we talking about shit that really we at this point, bro, kid, like let's just say they had a nice win against UCF, because we gassing them. If you think they gonna split between Utah and Oklahoma State, I think those is 2 L's guaranteed.
Well, you know, I think the first 4 games outside of Colorado State, I think they wanted to beat them down. You know, they've been close games. You know, they for all intents and purposes, Shakur pulled magic out of a hat. He did a great job, was clutch when they needed to be, and they took care of business. So was Travis Hunter. That game was a loss if the defensive coach made the right call. So things look a little shaky, and maybe they don't have the confidence going into UCF. So so I'm saying 3 more. So Kansas, where's the other 2? I think they'll beat Kansas.
They have to win their next 3.
No, I think Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's what? That's what I'm saying. That's within the next Arizona. 3. That's their next 3.
And Kansas State.
Kansas State, Arizona, Cincinnati. You're saying they're going to win all 3 of those. You're confident. I'm not saying you're guaranteeing it, but like you're saying those are wins. Those should be wins.
I'm saying that when I look at the rest of their schedule, they have 4 wins. Where do I see the 3 possible wins? I see them potentially being Arizona. I'm going to go about you with what you say with Cincinnati. And then Kansas. I think those could be the 3 ones they can get.
The 3 to me is Arizona, Cincinnati, Texas Tech. And that's after Kansas State. The reason why I'm bringing up saying Kansas State is a key game is because if they lose that game, they can't lose any other games for the rest of the season if they want to be in the playoffs as the best outcome. But for a bowl game, I don't see them. They can't lose more than 4 games, I would say. So if they lose to Kansas State, I'm already booking them to lose Utah and Oklahoma State. That's 3 losses. That's 3 more losses. Then I know they're not going to sweep through Arizona, Cincinnati, Texas Tech, and Kansas. They're going to lose 1 of them. So that means at that point, you're not really in a bowl game. You're just trying to you're just going to basically just say, like, we won more than we won last year. But if they're good as people say they is, after they should beat Kansas State. That's their first test. If they can't beat Kansas State, then that's going to tell me everything I need to know about this team.
Yep. I think Kansas State better be careful, bro. Like, a lot of these teams, when they see Colorado on the schedule, they get hyped up and amped up to play them, and they don't come out and just play football. And I think that hurts them.
Nebraska did. Nebraska played Nebraska football and it worked out for them.
Yeah. But some of these other teams, I think, like definitely Colorado State, I think UCF was a little hype early. This was one that they wanted. They wanted to win this game. And they got tore up.
The one thing I will say about Colorado is that they're not afraid of a shootout. I think there's certain teams in college football that like are afraid of a shootout. Like Colorado's like, look, we could do a shootout. So like if we need to win like that, we can win like that. My thing is like I don't know if other teams are that have that much firepower. Cause that's another thing that I noticed this game is Colorado has a lot of firepower. When it comes to like the web, they're kind of built like the Bengals with that, where as far as their run game is meh, but their passing game is what they hang their hat on. And obviously plays from Travis Hunter too.
Yep. So yeah, good win. I again felt they should have won this game. You did as well, and I still think they'll get three wins. So I wasn't as down on Colorado as a lot of people were coming into the season. So
I just knew he had to win more than four games this season. That's all I knew he had to do. He couldn't say he's a successful coach. He couldn't brag about nothing if he didn't win as many games, if not more games, than he did last year. So that's why five games was my lowest bar for him this season.
Well, I might have to change the title of this video because Rob, they'll tell you in the chat, bro, in the Dead End Sports chat, bro. Come on now. This one right here, man. This Joy, we got a game. 33-28.
They came back.
Yeah, man.
Bama's on the
they planned the edges a little bit better because I want to give Milroe a lot of credit. I think that he's showing a lot of improvement this year.
As a quarterback for sure.
Yes. Last year, but this year he definitely looked way more confident. It was like he spent a lot of time studying film and prepping.
Damn, they!
Oh, Beck got wide open. Oh, stay up! Wow, Nick, they came all the way back, bro.
Bro, then you your shit faster than mine. So I didn't even see the play. I'm trying to see. Hold on, let me see this play. Ah, hell nah. They back in the game. He came in and tackled. They was up by 28-7, wasn't it at one point?
My bad, y'all. It's a real time reaction.
Wow. They
got to win it, though. This shit ain't over yet. But damn.
Well, now it's on mirror. Look, I always tell you, I was like, when you see white people do this, that's how you know shit bad. So anytime it's a bad thing in the game, a white man has his hand on his head. Like he can't believe he watching sports.
But a field goal, well,
and this is intel. This is I'm with the Roll Tide, bro. That's an alma mater of mine.
My in laws sitting around watch. Oh, don't. How would you do that?
They going for two.
Damn, oh, they trying bad, y'all. Shit.
Yeah.
Damn,
Ken. I'm like, shit, hold on. Let me see. I'm hoping that they don't get it though. That's all.
Ain't gonna say shit else. How did the hell?
Oh yeah, he shit ball. He shit ball. He ain't getting nothing. That's the best thing ever. Them doing that goofy ass shit. That's a horrible thing to call as a coach.
I think the play wasn't there, and I think he just tried to scramble for it.
But. I'm talking about the decision to go for two, because I think he was just saying, like, we're going to be down by a field goal anyway, so let's try to put
it on. No. Yeah, go for two to get it up by a field goal.
But
to go up by three. They had to go for two there.
They didn't have to.
A field goal.
Because points is a premium at this point. Because I'm talking about the risk and reward part of it. Like,
yeah, I might have to change the title.
Bama choked this. If they lose, they choked this game away.
Well, I mean, this is what we want to see. Milrow, game on the line. Can you go win it? I think I'm confident that he can. I like what I've seen, but I think I got to give – because, look, I was ready to come here and just shit all on Georgia. And I still got some things to say about them.
I got some things to say, too. I mean, it's not looking good, period. You gave up 33 points. Well, 28 – well, 21 in the first quarter, which is insane. And then 28, shortly after. So it's just – I don't know.
Boom.
This defense ain't shit.
And the other thing is that they're losing by safety as well. So that was the other issue there, because they came on a blitz and he threw and Beck just closed his eyes and threw the damn ball. And if they didn't give up that safety, they would be up by three.
This is insane. You just said boom and like that play. I thought he just threw a nice pass, but that was an insane play.
I had to catch myself.
Ryan Williams, somebody was saying, like, I've been drinking every time they say he's 17, and he said, I'm seven shots in. They probably saying it again. That's an Milrow's a Milrow's, but hey, we just got talking about that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, we was talking about Shador. Like, bro,
Shador ain't even in the conversation.
When it comes to quarterbacks, this is an underrated draft. I don't know why people was trying to shit on this draft class that may be coming out soon. Like, we got some QBs. Arch Manning out here doing some he doing some wild shit on the football field. And I ain't even talking about the throw the ball. They can try to dance to some more shit.
Yeah, I think that and I'm not saying Shador is not in the conversation about my standards. I'm saying that I've seen the odds of Shador, and I didn't even see his name on the list. They had all these other quarterbacks, which I thought was kind of crazy. But this is so. But I shitted on Milrow last year, Rob.
You did shit on him last year.
And I had reason to. I came back and I ain't listening to Rob. I just gave this man all the credit for everything that he did in the offseason to come back and look like a better quarterback this year. I like what I'm seeing with him. And Williams, I think Bama to win this game.
Williams made these Georgia corners look like goofballs, because that should have been a pick from that throw. And then the spin move to the like, at least push him out of bounds. What is going on? Georgia has been doing horribly tackling all the whole game. That's the number one thing I was going to say. Georgia's tackling this game has been ugly.
Yeah, but how the hell you get all that momentum and then you go.
And on the first play,
that happened, bro.
On the first play, he threw a tutty and he got the 2-point conversion. So now that's what I'm saying. Now you go for two and you lose it. They got a tutty. They scored 8 points.
Shelton, it ain't who's better as a quarterback, but I think that when it comes down to the Heisman, you're going to have Milrow. Beck may have gotten back in the conversation. I think, Archie Manning keep playing. He might be in it, but I doubt that's going to happen. I think you have Milrow, Travis Hunter, and I think that's it.
Cam Ward.
Oh, Cam Ward.
Cam Ward should be in that too.
Let me look up the Heisman Vegas odds. Let me see.
So Georgia not getting that 2-point conversion now makes it that they have to score a touchdown to even tie. So if they just went and kicked the extra point, a touchdown would give them the lead.
True. True. That's a good point.
So everybody got their timeout still, and it's like the 2-minute warning hasn't hit yet either. So they got time to go down the field. And the way these offenses give no fucking yards, they're going to get down the field quickly.
Yeah, but
somebody got to make a play. But now Milrow's been looking amazing. Beck, let's talk about Carson. What's his name? Carson Beck?
Man, get Carson. Look, hey. He made some play. Look, they got back in the game, but get Carson Beck the fuck out of here, bro. I haven't been impressed with Georgia's offense all year. They've been winning games. They almost lost to Kentucky, the same team that just took out another Ole guy Miss. That they love, Jackson Dart today, who looked average. But I don't know, man. I'm not I'm not big. And Carson Butt, what he Beck, he had two awful
ugly picks. Yeah, ugly picks.
A fumble that he gave away. Yeah, man.
Yeah. These are the games we judge quarterbacks by.
Yeah, but this was definitely this was a good comeback. I mean, it showed a lot of heart. And here's the thing about Carson Beck that I thought was funny. Because he had the option to come out last year, and he said he didn't want to do it because he was thinking about this game, and he probably about to lose to them again. And you came out, and you played like
they shit. Have to score a touchdown though. So this is all on the quarterback. This is no put us in the field goal. And speaking of field goals, I'm done with college football field goals. If I was a college football head coach, there's no kicker in the country that I trust. Because they be shanking and missing some. That's what happened to Ole Miss.
Yep. I knew he was going to miss. You can see it on his face.
Everybody. It's the same thing that happened. It's the same thing that happened in that Ohio State-Georgia game in that playoffs. It was like Ohio State put the whole fucking season if you have a number 44 and you're a kicker, I'm not trusting you. I'm sorry. Anything in the 40s or 30s, nah.
Right. So according to USA Today, the Heisman odds are Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Nico Imalieva, Dylan Gabriel, and maybe Travis Hunter getting there. I don't see Shadur anywhere on this list. And that's as of today, September 28th.
Shadur is not a top five pick to me.
So
he can potentially be a top 10 pick if depending on how his season ends, but he's not a top five pick to me. Because you're gonna throw Travis Hunter's definitely top five. You'll throw in another quarterback between Cam Ward. If y'all know if he's even coming out, I don't know who's coming out just outside of Shadur, but Cam Ward or Milroe, and who else? And then you'll throw in an offensive lineman. Like, nah, I don't think Shadur is a top five pick, but he can be. If they beat some of these teams on their schedule, Ken, and this the way he looks,
top five. I think Parkin has been good. He plays good. He's as good as a lot of these other guys. I think.
But the top five teams. But what top five teams need a quarterback? We think the Giants would be one of them. Would he go to New York? Maybe, because you know Deion talking about some. We ain't going to no shitty team like that with a shitty whatever program or whatever. And I don't think no one really trusts. I mean, watching Hard Knocks, I don't think no one trusts the Giants right now. You got the Raiders? Would he go to Vegas? That'd be good for his brand, but I don't know.
Yeah.
He damn sure ain't going to Carolina.
You did, but well, everybody say, hey, if he's that guy, then he should be able to overcome those.
Nah, hell nah. He ain't going to Carolina.
Nah, they probably won't let him go there.
Fuck around, go to Tennessee.
Notre Dame survived a thriller. Michigan. Oh my God.
We gotta talk about Michigan.
What the hell?
Bruh, that Michigan game, bro, it was like, because they was busting their ass at first, Minnesota. And then all of a sudden, Minnesota, the same way they did like this Georgia game, all of a sudden, Minnesota started coming back. And it's like, to me, it's like, the head coach, what's his name? Shamar Moore. What's his name? he is horrible at second half coaching. Because he'll give up a lot of shit, a lead or whatever in the second half. And he don't got a quarterback. I think you called that out. Like, I'm looking at this quarter. Number 10 ain't shit to me.
Yeah. No.
He's basically running Wildcat every day, every game. And they gave a bullshit call to Michigan to win the game because it was an onside kick and they recovered it. And then they were saying like he was up. They were behind. They went ahead of the line. And then when you did the instant replay, you see that was behind the line. They timed it out perfectly. Yeah, it was like they've been getting bailed out. And he lucky. The only reason why they ain't coming for his neck is because he's keep winning these games. But he gonna lose one. They easily gonna lose to Ohio State. I don't think that's a question. They're
gonna blast by Ohio State.
But that's not a loss that they already did lose to Texas. But I still think they'll get into the playoffs with two losses, even though they're against two ranked teams. But I feel like with how they're playing, they're gonna lose one more. They should have lost to USC. It's just USC didn't know what the fuck they was doing. They're easily losing one more game.
Yeah, I think they just UCF with a better brand. Let me look at their schedule while this game play out.
Beck was trying to throw another pick.
Oregon.
He got money on the game.
Illinois. They might. They could lose three of these three games, bro.
Illinois is actually ranked, which I was shocked this season. I don't know who the fuck they've been playing.
You know what? I think this would do for Georgia, at least coming back like this, overcoming everything. Is I think this will.
Just hang on. Don't even do that, Ken. I ain't gonna let you finish that goofy ass line. What you about to say?
I'm just saying, Georgia, I think they'll drop far down.
They won't drop that far down, but everything that we've been saying about Georgia would be true as far as when it comes to Bama. Bama's their kryptonite. Yep. It's like the Chiefs and the Bills, and Georgia's the Bills. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no matter how good they are with everybody else.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to have to.
Now he got to be that. Now I got to shut up and see what happened. I'm over here talking shit. They could have just made a big play.
Let me go ahead. I'm going to meet my mom.
Oh, yeah. Nah, they trash. Georgia's been dropping a lot of highlights that Alabama wide receivers would make. we'll see. All right, Carson Beck, whatever the nigga's name is, we're gonna see how good you are. 4th and 2. So my TV behind. Y'all motherfuckers already know what's going on.
Yeah, I had to mute my mic. 4th and 2.
$1.20 left. That's hella time left.
Yeah. Say, for instance, they score. You go for 2?
If you score, you're on the road. Yeah, you go for 2.
I mean, it's a game that, for all intents and purposes, you were down 27-0.
If you score, you go for 2 because that forces them that they have to kick the field goal. Because if you just tie the game up, then, the Alabama player hurt. If you just tie the game up, I feel like that gives Alabama more confidence than if you would get the 2-point conversion. Because I feel like that brings more of a sense of urgency to Alabama. Like, we can't just goof around. We have to win this game type shit.
Bro, Jalen Milroe has 374 yards passing, 2 touchdowns and a pick, 117 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns.
Why haven't they ever tried, and maybe it's because it's too many names, but why haven't they ever tried fantasy football for college football?
I don't know. I don't know how they would do it, though.
I think it would be too, it's just too many players, but I'm thinking you could do fantasy football for college football, though.
Yeah, these fools were down 28-0, and they just going crazy. So that means they went on a 34-5 run.
Yeah, they went on an insane run. And they got to score a touchdown. This is boom or bust. They got to go for it all 4th downs. That's the crazy thing. So now that's how Alabama has to play. Like, you got to play 4 downs every series.
They say, Wuyan said, and Marty say, there is a fantasy football for college. It's just not popular.
Is it like the one-off games I'm thinking? I'm talking about like going for like a full season, like you draft this player. I'm not talking about just like the one-off game days, like who do you pick for this matchup? But you see that UNLV, they won today with a backup quarterback since the other one left. Did you hear about that story at all?
No, I didn't.
So the UNLV has been balling this year for some reason. And they was 3-0, but then they quarterback, who is heavy into NIL, was like, y'all didn't pay me, or y'all haven't been paying me what I'm worth. I'm basically removing myself from the team until y'all get y'all money, like get the money right. So he removed himself because they ain't been paying him, or like he said, they haven't been keeping up with their promises. And everybody was talking about, like, this is where the players are going too far and all the other shit. Like, they let NIL and money dictate them. What happened to playing for the team and what happened to your commitment to the university? All that goofy shit. This motherfucker, his backup, oh shit. Mm-hmm. His backup ends up winning and balling nonetheless. Black QB, I think. And they're 4-0 now. So I'm thinking this nigga, he bet it on him. He did the one thing that niggas are scared to do is bet on themselves, because if they wrong, you wrong twice. You not only wrong as far as your expectations for the team, but you wrong on thinking we needed you.
That looked like pass interference to me on that last play.
Nah, I ain't gonna go that far. It was a clean hit. I don't know why he's trying to go for the gusto right now. He should be trying to do check down Charlie. Holding.
I'm wondering the same thing too, because he keeps testing these corners.
Yeah, I'm think like,
these
bro.
Are the young corners, but
they he look keeps like it.
Testing these corners, bro.
Oh, they said offsides? Oh shit! Okay. And that was what, 3rd and 4?
I don't know, bro. I think Beck gonna fuck up somewhere somehow.
He may make a goofy play. Oh, hold on. That was a false start, if anything. I don't know. We'll see how this game go. Wow. He was right, Ken.
Like, Jesus Christ, bro. What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing?
And that was at the same dude, number two. He kept trying to fuck with number two. He threw that pass the same way Jefferson did in the Colorado game.
What it is was a that?
It was a beautiful pick.
He's feeling himself too much. Way too damn aggressive, bro. Like, what are you doing? You gotta give yourself more chances. Why are you doing that?
If anything, he had a better look on the other side, on his right side.
That was like,
he just threw a 50-50 ball up, and I guess he was just trying to, he just got out muscled.
But that's he ain't crazy. Really hit that shit. Like, you ain't really been, That shit was crazy, bro. What are you, like, it made no sense. That shit made no sense at all. what are you doing? Because you ain't. I think I missed some plays, but that guy's been holding up in coverage. He just stopped another play, and then you try to get him again? Nah, bro.
That's crazy. So Georgia's using their timeouts. They trying to.
I don't know if they had all three or they had.
Yeah, they had all three. So they use a second timeout. That's crazy. Yeah, that's a wrap. I don't even know what the motherfucker doing. They already got the fucking, they can't hold back on the fireworks.
Well, they already celebrated. Because Jesus Christ, bro. That shit was awful.
That was the worst way to lose, too. At least get blown out so you could be like, all right, it wasn't our game. To come back and lose like that off a pick.
4 turnovers, too. By bet.
And where's the scheme? Where's the scheme to go on across the middle? Like, that's like, why are we always just going on the outside?
That is the biggest thing. When I'm watching this game, I'm like, where's the offensive scheme for Georgia? Early on, everybody for Alabama was open. So, It turned into an ugly situation with Alabama, but they got it done. I think that Beck is overrated. I agree with you. I think Bama may be kryptonite for Georgia. Saban isn't there, and you're losing to this guy. You know, and they got talent. And you know, this offense this guy has been running is pretty good, but.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say about Bama is, like, that defense shit is ugly when you let. Granted, this is Georgia. They were ranked higher, and they, you know, the most recent champs, or no, not them. That's Michigan, but like in recent history. But Yeah, you don't go up that heavy and then give up a lead like that to where like you're waiting for a Carson Beck mistake to save your season.
Yeah.
Now this is their best win of the season, but that defense, we'll see how they play against another ranked team.
Well, the thing is, what does it say about Carson Beck? And I think that's like this was the game I wanted to see how he performed.
He choked. He choked early. That's what it says. He just choked early.
Yeah, like, interceptions, including the one that ended the game when you had a chance to tie. Like, that's not sound football. That's not thinking football. And he had a fumble. So he had four turnovers and they lost by a touchdown. He talked all this shit. Now the only way he'll get his get back is if they get to the SEC title game. So we'll see how that go. And as for, so who does Alabama have up next? So they whooped up on, this was their first big test. I think it's the first big test for both of these teams, actually.
No, don't tell Georgia that. Georgia lost to them. Oh, lost Georgia, to Kentucky. Yeah,
never mind. Georgia beat Clemson.
But we realize Clemson ain't.
I mean, they're 14. They're still, they got themselves back together.
Clemson ain't.
But they play tougher opponents. Ooh, and Georgia got Texas. So they should.
Georgia hasn't played Texas yet?
They play Texas in 3 weeks. Well, they have They just had their bye week. So they have Auburn, Mississippi State, and Texas coming up. Then they got to play Ole Miss and Tennessee. They might end with two losses. And Tennessee
people talking about that. People say they a sleeper.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a tough one. Alabama's schedule. Toughest opponents. They got to play Tennessee, of course. Missouri, LSU. They own LSU. They'll be LSU. So they could probably win out, bro. Tennessee may give them some trouble. They might win out, but Beck, bro, Beck a little shaky.
Hey, this Cincinnati game just got interesting again. It's 41-44, and we got the ball with a minute 15 left. I will say this about the quarterback for Cincinnati. He's top eight in the country as a quarterback. I saw a ranking on it, and I've been watching it. Basically, I'm saying he's like, that Colorado game ain't gonna be easy, kid. That's what I'm trying to say. we see who a real top flight quarterback.
Let me see. Is that game probably not even on TV? Is it?
It's on ESPN2. Chill out. We a good program. I hate what y'all be trying to get. I feel like until y'all met me, y'all didn't know Cincinnati was even on a goddamn map. Since I came into this motherfucker, you been hearing about it. You can't ignore it. You can't ignore it at all. We out here.
I can't believe Carson Beck threw that stupid ass interception though.
That was the goofiest interception. And I swear he had to look at it. Granted, y'all can tell me if I'm wrong. I swear on the opposite side, his right hand side, there was a dude cutting up. And I don't think the safety bit enough to where he could, like, if he threw it that way, it would still not have ended with a pick. But it looked like he had a better option on the right side. He just wanted to fuck with number two.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Off topic, why did Trevor and Sermon blow off Cam like that? They talked after the game.
I thought it was a whole joke. I didn't really give.
Yeah.
And Cam is a fucking giant, bro. I don't know why the fuck. Remember that video that came out when them niggas was trying to fuck with him? Yeah. I was like, bro, you don't fuck with football players. I used to intern at one of the local stations in Cincinnati for their sports team. And I saw some of those Bengals players, like, you remember Devin Steele? They had a whole thing for him when his daughter was going through I think she had cancer.
Yeah.
I seen what he looked like in pads walking into the practice field. Bro, that motherfucker looked like the Hulk in the first Avengers. Like, that he is a giant motherfucker. And I was like, oh, hell nah. That's what I'm saying. You just shoot football players. You don't fight them. You don't do nothing like that. You don't talk shit about them. You just shoot them because there's no other way you're going to deal with that.
What conference is Cincinnati in?
We're in the Big 12 now. That's why we face Colorado.
Oh, I couldn't find them.
Yeah, we was in the ACE, not the ACC, but the American Athletic. It was, AAC, a goofy ass conference. But we got up out of there.
Oh, yeah, y'all playing Texas Tech. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like Colorado has to play both of these teams. So it's interesting just to see how this plays out.
Log in. Hold on. Let me see. Let's see what these boys do.
But the quarterback for Cincinnati, he nice though. Hey, somebody could do something. Do you think Texas brings back Ewers when he gets back? Or do they keep, is it going to be like a Justin Fields?
What
they
going to do, bro?
I feel like it's going
to
be.
Have to. Because it's not like he was playing shitty.
It wasn't. And he got that commercial with the Dr. Pepper where he's like talking about the backup. Shit as a joke, bro. He may fuck around and lose his job because they got Arch. You know the marketing team been waiting for Arch Manning to get him some playing time and the ball out because they got hella shit. It seemed like every time this motherfucker make a first down, it's on the Bleacher Report highlights. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, I think they are in the worst situation because Ewers definitely a top quarterback coming out. So. But they've been rolling, and
and it's not even like they just roll. It's not even like he's doing anything like Ewers isn't doing. It's the way he's doing it. It's like he's showing off the speed. He's showing off the accuracy, the touch, the moxie, the comfortability. Like he's been here before. It's like, bro. And he got a personality too. At least on the field a little bit, like. I don't know, man. I don't see how you put that on the bench. I don't see how you put it on the bench.
I don't know, bro. I don't know what to do. I don't know what they can do. Like, they're going to have to play both. I think that's what they're going to have to do, find a way to play both. But how does the offense work with that? So, and then their schedule, I mean, you may want a more experienced quarterback playing Georgia, so maybe you can play him there, but they play Oklahoma next, and then they play Georgia. They should be able to beat Oklahoma, and shit, I actually think they can beat Georgia. Then they got Vanderbilt, Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky. Those should all be winnable games, and then you finish out the season with Texas A&M. He'll have moments to play in those games, but that's tough, man. That's the worst thing that could have happened.
That's the worst thing
that could happen.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Second and five, Brendan
Sorsby. Oh, I don't know what he is, but he made a play. He made a play just a few minutes ago.
So Brendan Sorsby.
I'm telling you, man, look at his stats, bro. Like He alright. He super alright, Ken. You know what I'm saying? We haven't had a quarterback like him in a minute. The last one I think of is I would not be shaking those things if I was a fan. But we haven't had a quarterback like him since Tony Pike.
I remember him.
That was back when it was like Tony Pike, Marty Gilliard. That was with Brian Kelly, Cincinnati's teams. Where we got dusted by Florida in the Orange Bowl.
Oh, they don't have any timeouts? Well, we limping.
Nah, yeah.
Better run your ass off.
We just trying to get in field goal range. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. The Knicks trade.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
The Knicks trade. I don't think I have the full details, but I'll go off the top of my head. The New York Knicks in like a thief in the fucking night traded with the Minnesota Timberwolves to receive Cat, and I'm not sure what else, but they gave up Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, and I think a first round pick from the Pistons.
Yeah, I'm pulling up on the NBA. So is it okay? So Knicks.
I think it's a done deal. I think it's a Don Cheadle done deal.
Detroit Pistons first round pick.
Cat already sending out subtweets and shit like that. So I think it's a done deal. And it's crazy because we're not getting this from Woj. This is the first big news we're getting, like, not coming from Woj, which is crazy to think about.
So, you know, I think on the show we talked about the financial situation that the Timberwolves were found themselves in because of Gobert and other shit.
Because of Cat and Gobert, because Ant ain't paid yet, I don't think.
Yeah. So me looking at this, this is their first move to address the cap situation that they were going to be in. And you know, the obvious thing is now it's like, this is Anthony's team. This is Anthony Edwards' team.
Which it should have been.
True.
Once I mean, it's not like, in, yeah. This yeah, is the funny thing is, don't talk about it. I feel like you're giving it the emotion, like it's a sad thing to see a first round pick become the second fiddle to another first round pick. But we always talked about this, that Minnesota needs to move off of Cat. He's just not that dude for them. And granted, Minnesota tried. I think they were like, look, if we get to the finals, we'll keep everybody. You know, and yeah. The fact that they used all their energy in the second round and not the third and not in the finals or in the conference finals, I think that was the decision that they made. But I don't really hate them for it. I don't know what it does for them, but I don't hate them for it.
Nah, neither am I. But so I think it was financial situation. And I think it'll give them an opportunity to trade Randall at some point. So I think that's what we're looking at. I did not know they were calling this guy Big Purr. That's a hilarious nickname. But either way I go, I think this was more financial than anything. Because I'm like, how does Julius Randle help this team? You know, because he's a ball hog, not ball hog, but he definitely stops the ball when it goes.
Yeah.
To him. So I don't know what type of ball movement they're going to have or anything. So the coach is going to have something. I like Dante DiVincenzo. I think he fits.
He fits them wonderfully. He spaces the floor. They needed more shooting on the outside, consistent shooting on the outside. And obviously, I'm a Knicks fan, so I know what he can do when it comes to just that. And he's low key athletic, like what they say about sneaky athletic. So I just think I agree with you with Randall. Like, I've watched enough of Randall. We're seeing like he doesn't know how to play Chris Bosh, and not to say he's not talented like Chris Bosh, but he just chooses mentally not to play like him. Like if you pass him the rock, he's going to shoot it regardless. He's going to dribble. He's going to create. He has some type of handles, but I think only handles when it comes to him going against another big. But as far as like if he's going against like a two or a three, I think they neutralize him really quickly, and he's just doing a turnaround fade. He kind of plays like Melo in a sense sometimes, with just ISO ball, for better for worse. I don't think he's just he can shoot threes, but I don't see him as a 3-point shooter. He's more mid-range is where he's going to kill you. But he's not that dominant in the paint though. Like he'll get rebounds because he's a tall dude, but he's not like a Joker where he has a lot of post moves and stuff like that. He can do things here and there, but his post move game is really, it look goofy, at least to me sometimes. But with Ant, I don't know how, like, they almost play in the same space. So it'll be interesting. Maybe Ant has to elevate his game now to being like, I have to be a consistent 3-point shooter. I just have to be a scorer in general. I can score anywhere, which I think he has the talent to do. It's just that you're now asking him to do that now moving forward. That's the expectation. If I'm Minnesota, I would have liked them to, and I think they did draft a point guard or something, but they need to get better. Yeah, they need to get better at the point guard position, because Mike Conley is damn near on his way out, if not already. And I don't think that's a key position that they don't really have a good handle on.
Yeah, and I think this is, you know, will help alleviate some of the pressure off him. So I don't know what they're going to do to address, like, that point guard position long term, but until the rookie comes along. But so, yeah, for me, I think it's a step back for the Timberwolves. I just don't see how it work. I got to think about it some more. But right now, based on what I know about Randall, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work. And I think we'll learn a lot about Anthony Edwards, too, if he's able to make this work and with Randall and the system that they have or whatever system they design. But the Knicks, though, how do you like this for the Knicks? Because they're going for it. This is more about the Knicks than the Wolves to me.
Honestly, I was going to say I'm a little bit off opposite. I think it's more about the Wolves than the Knicks, because the Wolves were closer than the Knicks to get into the finals. And you traded a big key piece and you replaced that with a piece that's like, you at best, this is another man's trash, another man's treasure kind of trade on both sides. For me, with the Knicks, though, this proves that they pushing all their chips in and they going for it. And this team is interesting because fuck the on paper shit. Like, best case scenario, this is an Eastern Conference team. Eastern Conference Finals team.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were one game away from getting to the Eastern Conference Finals with the pieces that they have and off the strength of Brunson doing some otherworldly shit. Now you add Mikal Bridges. Now you add Cat, so that evens out the scoring. And Cat is versatile, so he can score anywhere. I hated that we lost Hartenstein to the Thunder, because I think that was a key piece I wish they could have kept. But if you're trying to deck all this stuff out we are now, giving up Hartenstein and DiVincenzo and Randall for the pieces you get back, I'm cool with that. But health is a big concern, but a best case scenario, it's only them in Boston I see in the East. If both teams healthy, it's just them in Boston. I would still give the nod to Boston, because I'm not going to deny they're still the champs. But if Brun play like how he did last playoffs, and Mikal Bridges continues just him being the guy he is, and then you get Cat with his same numbers, less goofy shit. I know it won't be less goofy shit, but I'm hoping because of the culture and Tom Thibodeau and them, like, look, bro, we actually wanted you here. They didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, be motivated by that. I'll tell you this. I'm going to the Knicks T-Wolves game. That's going to be in January when they come to Madison Square Garden. I'm looking at buying my ticket right now. Cause I just got paid I get paid on Monday. So I'm gonna just spend it and not even think about it, but I'm gonna be in the stands for that game. Cause that's going to be the game. That's Randall coming back to New York. Cause I think they play in December in Minnesota. So it's not going to be their first time matching up, but it'll be Randall coming back to New York since the trade. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be in the stands for that. And that'll be my first game going in MSG, period. So, yeah, I want to see that matchup. But I think that pushes the Knicks. Because if you're trying to make a case for any other team, you could, some people will bring up Philly with them adding Paul George. But it's Philly, and you just added Paul George. I'll just repeat that. Outside of them, the Cavs were a playoff team, but I don't think anybody's really scared of them. Miami, I think, has gotten old, and I don't think they really got the energy and firepower. And who else is there? You got Indiana, but if Haliburton is your best player, then I ain't taking you seriously. I ain't saying he's shitty or nothing like that. I'm just not taking you seriously. And then you got Milwaukee. I think outside of Giannis, you ain't got shit in Milwaukee, because they don't know what the fuck they doing. Not even just with Dame, with their head coach. you fire a coach that was good replacing it with a coach that's bad. Like, it's Doc Rivers, man. Like, get the fuck out of here. I think those are pretty much all the teams. Like, those are the main teams that you would talk about.
So you got Jalen Brunson. Who's the? You got Mikal Bridges.
You got OG Anunoby.
Uh huh.
You got, this is the starting five. They said is Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, Cat, and who else? There was one more person. I just saw the little Bleacher Report slideshow. But either way, I think
that's pretty good, bro.
That's a good little starting four, starting five. I don't think there's a fifth member, but
I just don't know how they're gonna make all this work. That'll be the interesting thing. I mean, you got 21 and almost a double double with Cat. Brunson gonna do what he do. Mikal Bridges will fit in nicely as a role player.
So here's the lineup for both teams after the trade. Mike, for the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Julius Randle, Rudy Gobert, which isn't a bad starting five, just off the names. And then for the Knicks, you got Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, and Karl Towns.
Mm.
That's about as fair as trade you're going to get, honestly.
Yeah, sound like a title team to me.
Now, with the Timberwolves, does that lineup beat the Nuggets in a series?
No.
Because I don't think Dallas is getting back there. So to me, it's only the Nuggets. I don't trust the Lakers. I don't trust no other team in the West but the Nuggets. The Nuggets and the Timberwolves, actually. Those are the only two teams that I would trust.
Yeah, and apparently Dante didn't like his role, and then the contract situation with the Knicks.
Oh, so they was like, all right.
With Randall, yeah.
They was like, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here.
So, yeah. So, and then Cat posted an ellipsis, I guess. So, Josh Hart. That, man, you don't think y'all can win a title, bro, with that?
You don't ask me that question. I think we could. I'm only trying to be respectful. I'm still mild-mannered Nick right now. That's the thing. It ain't just for football season. I'm going into... Once we get into real basketball season, then I can see where we at. But that's a title winning team for me, led by Jalen Brunson. And this is all based off best case scenario, Ken. Health wise, everybody's still playing at their level, if not better. And no one gets hurt. Like, well, Tibbs doesn't do, you know, gets in his own way. Cause I see us matching up well against Boston with that. OG and Josh Hart will guard between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jalen Brunson's gonna do the scoring. Mikal Bridges is gonna do his thing on either end as a high end 3-and-D guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl just gotta give me 20-10. That's all I'm at. Not even that, 20-8. If Carl can give you 20-8 if he can give me that every time and play more than 60 games. I'm cool with it. If everybody can play more than 60 games, I'm cool with this.
Yeah, Carl, and I mean, in terms of impact on the floor, I mean, we know Cat's unlimited. I mean, his offensive versatility. But they're not the same player, but they are kind of the same player in terms of overall impact to the team. Carl Anthony Towns and Randall. So we'll see if they'll make it work. I'm just really interested in how the hell they're going to make Randall work in Minnesota. That's what I want to know. I can see Cat kind of fitting in more in New York because they can do a spread out offense. They can almost damn near play like Boston because Cat can shoot the three. So they can go five out whenever they want to as well. So that gives them a lot of more flexibility. And, you know, Cat doesn't like the post up, but he has... You know, he can play all over the court.
So. Well, the thing is, we have Mitchell Robinson still. So he can do the dirty work if Cat really want to be a punk-ass nigga about that shit. We still also got another center too, Jericho Sims. My thing is now I'm thinking about the bench for the Knicks. Like, Deuce McBride, Mitchell Robinson, Jericho Sims. I think there's a couple other people, but that's going to be key now because DiVincenzo was a huge part of our bench. And now we're trying to find scoring. Deuce McBride, he stepped up last year. He actually became better, like you can count on role player defensively and offensively. But he needs to step up even more because we're going to need him to be a point guard or at least be able to be a playmaker. That's why my concern is with the bench. Outside of that, I got to tip my cap to Leon Rose and Worldwide West. Like, they've been doing for the last 5 years. I haven't talked about the Knicks like this is if ever. Maybe since before I even joined Dead End Sports, when I was just a Melo fan, cheering them on. But like, yeah, this is it's damn near exciting. The only thing that would make me more happier is if the Bengals was 3-0 instead of 0-3. Then I'd be like, I'm on the top of the world. That's when I start talking shit. I'll be talking shit right then and there if that was the case.
Yeah. Well, definitely some excitement to look forward to for the NBA. No one saw this coming. A big trade without Woj is different. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, man, we appreciate you guys showing up. Make sure you guys come back Tuesday. We're gonna have a whole slew of NFL games to recap. Lots on the line going into week 4, because this is when you start to kind of separate yourself. This is supposed to be that marker where you know who you are. So we're gonna find out some stuff come this weekend after this week.
Yeah, Tuesday going to be an interesting show.
Mm-hmm. And, I saw you didn't have a reaction to your kicker missing the field goal, which is ironic.
I told you. That's what I was like. I didn't even want to say nothing. I just, because I looked at it. As soon as he kicked it, I was like, bro, this about to be wide left, right.
Yep.
It was, you should have kicked it, Ken. I got more faith in you, man. Yeah,
I was like, when I saw stupid way yarders, I was like, oh man, this ain't he ain't gonna.
There's no such thing as a college football, a good kicker in college football.
No, not at all. So, anyway, all right, we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.